Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Classroom DNA with Phyllis Austin, increasing and reaching your child's full potential. Each week, our objective is to help you as a parent, guardian, or loved one direct the path of a young person by empowering you with knowledge and understanding. Each week, you will be enlightened and moved into a position of positive parental involvement and influence. I am Phyllis Austin, and I am the founder of the National Parent Education Center, where we educate parents on education, help parents create quality education for their child, and advocate with parents on educational issues. Hello, and welcome to Classroom DNA with Phyllis Austin on this Easter and Resurrection weekend. I was listening to Walter Hawkins and the Love Center Choir just before coming on the show with Thank You, and that is a great way to start this show. So happy Easter, happy Resurrection weekend, and I want to thank Spirit and the Lord for all that he and she has done for me. Let's get started with our show. Today's show, Injured at School, what to do and what and who to call, okay? When your child is injured at school, do you know to ask for incident reports? Take pictures. Call 911. Maybe you have to call 911 from the school. Call a personal injury attorney, okay? These are the things that we're going to discuss today on Classroom DNA with Phyllis Austin. I honor and welcome your presence. Our call-in number is 347-855-8603. Again, that's 347-855-8603. According to the Centers for Disease Control, each year more than 200,000 children ages 14 and under require medical treatment for playground injuries. About 45% are serious injuries, including bone dislocations and fractures, internal injuries, strangulations, and eye and head trauma. The rest are soft tissue injuries, including muscle sprains, bruising, minor cuts, and swelling. You know, and that's the lesson here today. What do we do when you are called from the school and told that your child has been injured? I remember my mother being called. I was more than 14 years old. I was actually a student at Limbloom Technical High School, and I was on the playground over, I think it was 61st or 62nd, and Damon and ran into the monkey bars. And I remember falling out, and I was taken back to the infirmary within the school, and my mother was called. And I, you know, reading the story today, looking at what happened back then, my mother should have called an attorney after she took me to the doctor. But if you really don't understand the seriousness of how your child can be seriously injured, I really do invite you to listen to a show that we did here. We interviewed Bobby Bean. And Bobby Bean's child was bullied, but it was a first bullying incident where the child was fighting for his life. And when he went to the school, I really invite you to listen to those shows. There are two shows. And when he went to the school, he took the child to the emergency room. And now we know, if you don't know, but now you, if it's a life-threatening injury or if you believe to be life-threatening or the school thinks it's life-threatening or you just want to be cautious or the school tells you it's an emergency, call 911 from the school. And so our lesson is to provide you with information for you to operate. Let's make a disclaimer. I am not an attorney. I am not acting as an attorney. The information that I'm presenting here today is for informational purposes only. Most of the information is taken from the web. Information that I will present from cases. Those are case studies by TNPC, the National Parent Education Center, that we've been involved in. Therefore, do not take this to be any type of legal advice, okay? If there are lawyers out there, feel free to call in. So today we're talking about injured at school. I want to discuss or educate you on a term called in loco parenti. When you drop your child off at a school, okay, in loco parenti is a legal doctrine that applies to school administrators and teachers. The doctor means that while a child is at school or away on a school-sponsored extracurricular activity, the teacher has the responsibilities and duties of the student's parents. While in loco parente gives teachers latitude in supervising students and student activities, the legal doctrine, and this is taken from the internet, actually it's written by a judge, also opens the door to making teachers and administrators liable for accidents and injuries students sustain while under their supervision. While the doctrine is generally applicable to teachers and administrators, it is subject to interpretation by the courts. They weigh each accident at school separately according to the circumstances of the case, and that was taken from a document written by judge titled Liability Injury Compensation for Accidents at Schools. In the description of the show, there are links for you to access the information. You know, I was thinking about when you get to the school and your child has been injured, a lot of times especially on school trips, you know, when they have you sign, you are liable for the child, you will not hold the school accountable. I took a course in school law when I was going for my leadership certificate add-on. And one thing I learned is that parents cannot assign a child's rights away. Okay? Now, that was one thing I remember from the course. That parents cannot assign a child's rights away. So, you know, don't just feel that because you signed a document that you have given up the right to pursue, contact an attorney immediately if something happens, because a lot of schools, what I learned in this job, you can't really trust school systems. You have to really just sat on caution for the child you might want to contact an attorney. Don't feel that there's nothing you can do. So when we talk about injuries, let's look at some common causes of injuries. It could be a lack of supervision. So you get the child, your child's picked up. Just some common causes before we go into what you need to do. Okay? Lack of supervision. Many daycare centers and elementary schools have on-premises playgrounds where children are free to have fun. And there may be a lack of supervision. Your child is injured. That could be the scenario. Then you have children being injured from slips, trips, and falls. Okay? Playgrounds are often minefields for accidents. I remember seeing playgrounds. It's like just dismantled, not kept up the maintenance, and your child is injured. You know, thinking about me running into monkey bars, that's a serious injury. You know, slight concussion. I remember falling out, so yeah, a slight concussion could have occurred. So these are the things that you want to think about. And the school called my mother, okay, and she came out to the school. But if I fell out, became unconscious, why didn't they call an ambulance? I think they should have now that I've gotten older. And we're going to talk about those things. Child-on-child injuries, dog bites. The playground is in disrepair and poor maintenance, okay? So let's look at what constitutes negligence by a school. Suppose there's a school bus accident. Some things that you might want to consider: if the negligence of the bus driver or the school district employee. Never thought about that. Improper training of the driver by the school district. A poorly designed bus or malfunctioning vehicle equipment, or negligence of the other driver involved in the collision. Okay? We have to start thinking, kind of get outside the emotional action, that response. You're going to be somewhat emotional when you call to the school, okay, and your child is injured. It could be something as common as a playground accident that I spoke of earlier, lack of supervision, a slip, a trip, a fall, a child-on-child injury, a minor dog bite. But it could be something major. You're listening to Classroom DNA with Phyllis Austin, and we're talking about being injured at school. And at what I want to focus on now is to get you in a mindset of some of the things that could occur. If possible, I really would like for you to bring another person, if it's possible, to have another person with you when you get to the school. It's very difficult, if that's possible. You being a parent, and a lot of single parents out there, maybe if you have, I'm glad that we have a lot of cell phones now, we have digital cameras, we have iPad, I have iPad. Record, if you can hit the record button on some of these items, electronic devices to record some of the conversation, that would be great. Because a lot of things could be discussed, but you may not be paying attention to most things because you're concerned about the well-being of your child. Let's say there's a playground injury, okay? Again, lack of adequate supervision. That other person could kind of pick up this and start jotting things down. Defective playground equipment resulting from improper maintenance by the school or a dangerous design by the manufacturer. Your child is sick at school. You know, they start throwing up. Food poisoning, could that be improper food preparation or storage by school personnel? Or tainted food provided by an outside vendor or manufacturer? You know, these are a lot of things that we should consider. A slip and fall on school premises could be the cause. A loose handrail that was improperly maintained by the school or improperly installed by the construction company. Or a fall of ice or snow that resulted from the school's failure to clear sidewalks, or a similar failure by an outside vendor such as a local landscape company. Exposure to chemicals like asbestos could occur in older structures due to the school district's failure to remove the substance or to close down the structure altogether. Injuries from natural man-made disasters, okay? People say, well, that was a natural disaster. Could the school be responsible? Well, let's look at these things. Inadequate emergency preparedness or whatever. Okay, preparedness. And lack of planning. And failure to properly carry out evacuation or shelter in place. Okay? Injuries during sports and playtime could be the cause by inadequate supervision by school personnel. Or defective equipment provided by an outside vendor or manufacturer. See, there could be a reason why your child was injured and not just an accident in terms of it was unforeseeable, okay? If these things are occurring, you might want to think about those things, especially when you have an injury that the more serious, and in 45% of these cases, and this is just for children under 14, what about the high school student? I was injured in high school. It could be a serious injury. You're listening to Classroom DNA with Phyllis Austin, and we're talking about being injured at school. The first segment really kind of gave you an idea of injuries and what could be the cause, not just unforeseeable, but they could have been foreseeable based on the responsibility or actions the school should have taken. We're going to go to a commercial break. We'll be right back, and feel free to call us. Our call-in number is 347-855-8603. Again, that's 347-855-8603. And when we return, we're going to talk about what you should do, okay? What you should do.
Hello, this is Phyllis Austin, founder of the National Parent Education Center. When I first started this organization, I wanted to make sure that parents understood understood what a quality education is and what it looks like. Do you know that most state constitutions only provide for an adequate education? Here at the National Parent Education Center, we help parents create and receive a quality education for their child. Please support our efforts by making a $5 donation. You may donate more, but please donate. Visit tnpec.org and donate now. Thank you.
Hello, and welcome back to Classroom DNA with Phyllis Austin. And we are talking about injured at school, what to do, okay, what to do and who to call. In the first segment, we just looked at some of the possible causes that could lead to negligence on the school part. And, of course, you're not in that frame of mind to think that way when your child's injured. You're probably concerned, oh, my God, this is my child. Well, in Conyers, Georgia, and this was this article was written in November 18th, 2014, just last year. A young lady was injured, and the school said one thing was a slip or fall, according to the article. But according to the child, she was on a scooter and suffered severe burns on her face, and those pictures are on our website. So what should you do? First, if you're listening to the school story, don't assume that it's correct. Ask your child, okay? Don't assume that it's correct. Now, the first thing you want to do is make sure your child is safe, okay? I mean, if it's something serious, you may need to call 911. You know, here's the situation, Conyers, Georgia, and I heard this before. The child comes up to school. The child gets injured, the parent comes up to school, and guess what? The nurse or school administrator said, you might want to take the child to the emergency room. Well, I'm going to tell you, if you hear that statement, call 911 right then and right there. Okay, that's a clue of what you should do, call 911. If you hear that statement, you may want to take the child to the emergency room, okay? Call 911. That's very important, okay? Because for them to make that statement, they assume they're serious enough to go to the emergency room, they should have called 911, in my opinion. Speak with a turn, I can't tell you what that really works out to be. Secondly, if there are statements, you want to get those statements. But if you feel there's a life or death decision, call 911. Try to figure out what happened, but if it's just a life or death decision, a life-threatening decision, don't sit there and try to argue and debate. Your job is to get medical treatment to your child, call 911, or if you feel you want to proceed to the emergency room, that's fine. But however, you need to think about this. It is a common practice that many school districts call the parents and let the parents decide what to do. They try to shift some of the liability when they do that, okay? As an educator, that's just trying to shift some of the liability. You know, don't just assume that it's your responsibility to take the child to seek medical treatment. You can overcompensate here. You can be overly emotional, overly concerned. If something doesn't look right and you feel it needs a paramedic, if you were at home or in another situation, a paramedic will be called. Call a paramedic, okay? The young lady in Conyers, Georgia, the school stated that it was she fell on the playground when the parent got there. You can look at the pictures on the web. When the parent got there, what really happened? The child told a different story. She was on a scooter, of course. Okay, so those are two different stories. Incident reports. For any injury, there should be a school incident report. Take photographs. This is great for that second person to ask for an incident report, to take photographs and videos, especially if it happened on the playground. Go out there and look to see if there's a problem. Take the pictures, take the photographs, because if is caused by poor maintenance, I guarantee it's going to be repaired very soon. Get witness statements. That's very important. Last week we talked about a young man who was falsely accused. Those witness statements play a very good role in injury reports. Damages while photographs and witness. I'm going to read this. While photographs and witness statements make valuable evidence, unless your child's injury resulted in medical therapy bills, out-of-pocket expenses for medication, crutches, etc., lost wages, or pain and suffering, you don't have a case. Well, that's what they say. You don't have a case. Call an attorney. I'm not an attorney. I'm just reading. But more importantly, if it resulted in if your child's injuries are serious enough to require paramedics, it's likely the police will also respond. So make clear exactly what caused your child's injuries. And don't assume. Let the school tell them. Okay, what happened? That's what they said. Don't you say what you think. You don't know. Okay? Again, call an attorney. I'm not an attorney. Disclaimer there. Okay? And ask the paramedics for a copy of their patient incident report. Okay, and there are two incident reports. Usually when there's an accident, there's one from the school, and of course if there's a paramedic or some type of emergency treatment, there's another one from there, from the hospital or from whatever, the doctor's office. And of course you want to have the medical bills and any other damage documentation that occur. And that's why it's good to have two people when you go to these places, when you go to the school, so one can kind of do the business of the incident of what occurred, and the other one, of course, the other person, probably going to be a parent, can kind of focus on making sure the child is okay. We will be right back after commercial break, and we're going to talk about some settlements. And what I just want to tell you of things that you need to do that I've learned from being the director of the National Parent Education Center. We're going to go to a commercial break and we will be right back.
Hi, I'm Phyllis Austin. You know, parenting is very difficult. I don't know too many parents who can raise a child to 18 years of age without getting stuck, not knowing what to do. So I would like you to visit householddna.com and view the Household DNA Parenting Pyramid. Learn about the 7 principles of parenting, 4 of which you should be actively doing every day. Next, visit phyllisaustin.com and click on the Power Bookstore for great parent resources. You can pick up my latest book, God Has Not Forgotten You, written for teenagers and college students. While there, get your copy of my ever-popular book, From Parent to Power, Don't Parent in Fear. Visit phyllisaustin.com today for your book and parent resources. Thank you.
Okay, welcome back to Classroom DNA with Phyllis Austin. I invite you to call in. Our call-in number is 347-855-8603. Again, that's 347-855-8603. And we're talking about injury at school, what to do and who to call. And I said in this Thursday segment when we returned from break, I was going to tell you what I've learned. What I've learned about injuries at school, whether bullying or whatever, I think the biggest mistake is to trust the school. The school put up their radar and they have lawyers and everything, so they have a protocol what to do and how to handle cases. What I've seen a lot, being the director, cases that we've been involved in, but mostly cases we have not been involved in, and a common mistake that I've learned, or I think is a common mistake, is when an injury has taken place, the parent has taken the child to the emergency room, whatever, and they say, I'm going to talk to the school tomorrow. I think that's not the first action. I think the first action is to call an attorney. And the school would drag it out. Let's go in. Let's talk about it. They don't like documentation, but let me tell you what happened. You have no incident report. And you fail to get one, if there are witnesses, they're probably dispersed by now. Whereas a witness could tell you, no, Miss Jones, that's not what happened to her. Let me tell you what happened. You want to get those witness statements. We rely on the school to act in the best interest of the child in all matters, and sometimes, a lot of times, that's not the case when there's a liability or a neglect issue on the line. So I do invite you to contact an attorney. That's what I've learned. I want to talk about some judgments, verdicts, and settlements in bullying cases. Here's one. $25,000 settlement coming out of Connecticut for harassment injuries, physical and verbal harassment. Basic facts, a 9-year-old boy experienced physical assaults and verbal harassment that included a death threat in front of his 8-year-old brother. Witness C, the harassment triggered symptoms of chronic conditions the younger brother had. The boy's parents sued the school district for his alleged failure to protect their children. And again, this link is attached or in the description of the show. So that was a $25,000 settlement. Here's a $4.5 million. Most of these settlements pertain to bullying. But if it's just other injuries outside of bullying, you want to contact, like I said, that personal injury attorney. Settlement 4.5 out of Alaska. Verbal and physical assault, attempted suicide. California, oh my God, this is horrible. And if there's children listening, you might want to turn down the radio for this one. In California, undisclosed amount. This occurred, a single plaintiff, upper-class football player sodomized a freshman teammate at a school-sponsored camp. Okay, and it goes into detail. In Indiana, $50,000 verdict. Harassment injuries, verbal and written harassment. So this wasn't even physical. This was mostly verbal and written harassment, $50,000 settlement. And this related to cyberbullying. And I just spoke of a cyberbullying case last week. The classmates photoshopped sexually suggestive pictures of the plaintiff when she was a freshman in high school. So this wasn't physical, but it was verbal and written harassment. It was based and posted them on flyers in the school hallways and bathrooms that included her phone number. Okay, so this wasn't cyberbullying, but this was a $50,000 lawsuit. In DeKalb County in 2014, what occurred in DeKalb County, there was a huge lawsuit. Just had it here. Okay, maybe we probably can't find it now, but whatever. There was a huge lawsuit, and hopefully I will come across that in DeKalb County, and it was signed by Michael Thurman. A resolution agreement, the United States of America and DeKalb County School District, and this occurred at Peachtree Charter School. So that was signed. That was a civil rights violation. It was signed May 2013. So when you think about these cases, documentation, don't assume that it was just an unforeseeable accident. That may not necessarily be the case. Make sure you have documentation. Make sure it's written. Make sure you have your child's in a safe environment. Once the child is injured, your first attention should be towards the child's safety, but it'd be great if you had that second person communicate with an attorney, okay? And I want to go to our phone line, but I'm reading something. Written and verbal harassment is anything the complainant wants it to be. Somebody wrote in our chat room, written and verbal harassment is anything the complainant wants it to be. Let me respond to that. It's not what, when we talk about harassment, it's not what the person, the perpetrator thought it was. It's how the victim or the target perceives it to be. Okay? So that's my response. I'm going to go to our line because I want to talk to this person in a hole at the National Parent Education Center. I remember starting my blog talk show, and what we do here, we always want to make sure that we give you great information, and that's very important to us. And I remember starting blog talk Radio Classroom DNA actually they were looking for someone who knew education. And that's how I started my show. Caller, is this Sandy?
Yes, it is. How are you doing, Phyllis?
I'm doing great. Sandy, hold on, Sandy. I got another person in the chat room wasn't harassing you. I don't understand that statement. And that person in the chat room, feel free to call in. I'll call them 347-855-8603. Again, that's 347-855-8603. And I didn't take it personally if that was the case. A child sometimes don't know how to say no. So if a child feels that they're being harassed and they're being harassed, all they can do is just tell their parents and let it proceed from there. And that's my response to the person in the chat room. And I love to honor that person's comment. Sandy, how do you like the show today, Sandy?
It's been very interesting and very enlightening because those issues that you are bringing up happen all over the United States. And so that those are very deserving topics that you're speaking of right now. And we do need to have the dialogue with our children. We need to ask on a daily or weekly basis at least, you know, how was your day at school? How are things going in your school? I do that with my granddaughter, and it's really interesting some of the comments that she comes up with and some of the things that are happening in these schools. So parents, please, grandparents, please ask your child, have a discussion, have a dialogue with your children as to what's going on inside their school.
And that's very good. And I know I'm in that grandparent age group. Matter of fact, I spoke to my grandbaby this morning. And as grandparents, you really... you're tuning in. Sometimes we're like, well, it's not really direct to me, but can you imagine? I remember my child was injured, not at school, and I'm going to, there's another comment in the chat room I'm going to, and they say LOL. I don't know what that means. Okay. I want this person in the chat room to call in. Call in, caller, 347-855-8603. Call in, chatter. I remember my mother, my child was injured at home, jumping. I kept saying, stop jumping on the couch. He jumped off, hit the radiator, buzzed his head, took him to the emergency room, all that other stuff. And, of course, I was in another room being questioned. And my mother, I went to my mom's house. My child's head was wrapped. And my mother was just livid. My mother freaked out. Oh, my God, what happened to my grandbaby? So if you think it's just parents, oh, my God, just imagine as a grandmother, you see that your baby, your grandchild is hurt. Oh, my God. So as grandparents, we do have to be the second source of information and listen to these programs to take back to our children so they will know what's going on. Now, to the listening audience, I had a mission when I started Blog Talk Radio, which was to educate parents on educational issues locally across the countries that have a local that basically just not on national educational issues, national, state, anything that could help that child or the parent, help that child reach full potential and maximize greatness. That was my mission for doing Blog Talk Radio. Sandy is a good friend of mine, and she's going to start her own Blog Talk Radio program. And I love it because it's going to be a resource for our parents because you're coming from a different perspective. It's not education, but it's more holistic. Tell us about your show, the title of it, and things that you want the audience to know and take away.
Thank you, Phyllis. The name of my show is Life, Love, and Wellness. It's on Tuesday night, 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, 6 o'clock Pacific Standard Time. And it's Sandy Rogers, R-O-D-G-E-R-S on Blog Talk Radio. And what we're discussing, what we're providing for the community is a platform for people to come and discuss issues that are not spoken of in a lot of circles. So you don't have the discussions at home. You don't have the discussions at school or at work. And so we spoke in a premier session this past Tuesday. What if we live without any falsehood? And we talked about issues of our make-believe characters, our Santa Claus and Boogeyman and Tooth Fairy and the Easter Bunny. And what would happen if we did not have those issues to overcome with our children once they found out that what we have been telling them was not true? And how do we respond to our children when we catch them not telling the truth and we punish them, chastise them for telling a lie, yet at some point in time in their life, they're going to find out that what we have been telling them was incorrect. So that was just an opening discussion that we had this past Tuesday. We'll talk about different life issues. We'll talk about relationships, be it parental, be it with your children, with other people, friends. We'll talk about holistic issues of wellness from the mind, body, and spirit aspect, emotionally, how we can take better care of ourselves, what are good choices to eat, what you should eliminate from your diet, how to get sufficient exercise, even when you're busy or have a busy schedule. And we'll do it all with input, active input from the audience. We discovered that there were more than just the artificial characters that we were taught. One of the callers this past Tuesday spoke about the myth of happily ever after and her pursuit of that, what it did not produce in her life. And so there's always room, and all comments are welcomed and encouraged by the audience, listeners, to be actively involved so that we get to not only hear the host input or perspective on a subject, but also, and most importantly, the callers, the listeners that are calling into the show.
I think that's a very good, much needed show, because it seems like you're constantly putting your pulse on reality and redirecting parents. And I know as I work with parents in our organization and I speak with parents, it's important sometimes as I look to focus them back on the reality of what needs to be discussed in all areas, from where they are now in order to move to even resolve some of the issues. And sometimes with TV and other venues, keep up with the Joneses, TV selling you stuff, entertainment, we kind of forget what's really important. We look for the outside. Since we never have these important discussions that your show is going to bring to the forefront, we look for this outside gratification, outside our body to fulfill the void, instead of having the discussion so we know how to turn within what's really important to turn within. So I wish you much success, and I was privy to be a caller on your show. I remember you said, "Why the Little White Lie?" And I talked about the visible light spectrum and everything, and how just not living in reality is somebody lying to you. And even in education, people are constantly misleading parents, and that takes away their power of choice. So what do you want the audience, is there one statement that you may want to say, and I hear that you're in the car, so just kind of speak a little bit loud and clear, take your time, that the takeaway that you want the audience to remember and the reason why they should listen to your show, that concise statement of why they should tune in and listen to your show.
Life, love, and wellness will shine the light on a lot of falsehood and a lot of things that we accept as truth. and we will bring information. We discuss vaccinations and the dangers that they do to children on this past week. We also will bring you information from various documentaries on other topics that will help counteract a lot of the falsehoods and a lot of the misinformation that is being spread through the media. So the number one most important is to learn the truth about these issues that affect us, our children, and ourselves on a daily basis.
Well, I appreciate you calling in, and that's Life. Repeat the title again, please.
Thank you. That's Life, Love, and Wellness, The Sandy Rogers Show, SandyRogers, on Tuesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Sandy Rogers, well, The Life, Love, Wellness Show.
Well, thank you, Sandy. I really appreciate that. And I want the audience to check the show out on Tuesdays at 9. And for the listening audience, the takeaway from your child being injured again, just don't assume. If there's one thing I want you to make sure that you understand, don't assume. Do not assume that it was merely an unforeseeable accident, okay? Don't assume that. And if you have questions, you can always contact the National Parent Education Center. That's what we're for. Okay? I'm reading this last comment. Mega corporations are not ethical, and you cannot trust them. And that is a great way to end this show. Don't just trust, and schools, trust me, schools is a mega corporation. I want to thank that person in the chat room. There's a couple of people in the chat room who've been chatting back and forth. I thank you, and that's a perfect way to end the show. Don't assume whatever they tell you, and that's your child. Just don't assume that what they tell you is right, or even the resolution that they're offering is fair. I was injured also when working for Woodward and Lothar. I don't know if that store exists anymore in Maryland, and I just didn't know. So I want to pass the information on to the callers. Don't assume what they say is true and accurate. Get a second opinion and get it from an attorney. Okay, I like the people who've been told don't say anything. So after you take your child, if it's any case, contact a personal injury attorney just to find out what really for the real investigation, for the real truth. You just never know. Maybe nothing will come of it, but just reading some of the settlements, as little as $25,000 to as much as $4.something million, and then in California, they didn't even disclose that case. It was so horrific. The child being a freshman on the football team. Have a great day, and as we do always, we're going to end Classroom DNA with Earth, Wind, and Fire. You are a winner. And thank you for listening to Classroom DNA with Phyllis Austin. Have a wonderful, fantastic Christmas. Easter. Oh, my God. Well, it's Christmas in June, whatever. Have a wonderful and fantastic Easter weekend, Resurrection weekend. Thank you. Have a great day. Until next week, it's been a pleasure.
For Classroom DNA, show topics and information, text TNPEC.org to 23559. Again, for Classroom DNA, show topics and information, text TNPEC.org to 23559.